Your morning coffee depends on a chain of materials most people never think about. Aluminum mined in Australia, refined using Icelandic geothermal energy, shipped to China for manufacturing, then distributed globally. The ceramic mug required kaolin clay heated to 1280°C. The coffee itself relied on fertilizers made from natural gas. This invisible material foundation supports literally everything in modern life, yet we've become so disconnected from physical production that we barely notice it exists. We live in what feels like an ethereal economy of apps, services, and digital products, forgetting that every bit and byte requires massive physical infrastructure, data centers full of silicon chips, copper wiring spanning continents, and concrete foundations anchoring it all. This disconnection has real consequences. When COVID-19 disrupted supply chains, suddenly everyone wondered why we couldn't just make more computer chips or medical equipment, revealing our collective ignorance about how things actually get made. We're running out of sand. Not desert sand, but the angular variety needed for concrete and glass. Desert sand, polished smooth by wind, won't lock together for construction. That's why Dubai, surrounded by dunes, imports sand from Australia and Scotland. The global sand trade is shadowy and poorly regulated, with criminal enterprises stripping riverbeds and coastlines. Singapore's numbers expose the problem. Between 2000 and 2020, it reported importing 600 million tons of sand, yet exporting countries only recorded sending 280 million tons, 320 million tons unaccounted for. Yet, dismissing concrete as just mud misses its transformative power. In Mexico, cement floors in poor households reduced parasitic infections by 78%, cut diarrhea by half, and decreased anemia by 80%. Children performed better in school, and paved roads increased nearby workers' wages by 25%. From Singapore's public housing to Ethiopia's industrial parks, concrete enables remarkable social mobility. The material accounts for 8% of global carbon emissions. Researchers are developing alternatives like alkali-activated cements and Roman-inspired self-healing concrete, but adoption moves glacially slow. Portland cement has 200 years of empirical testing, while newer materials have only 30 or 40. In construction, where failure means collapsed buildings, that matters. Your smartphone began as white quartz chunks from Spanish hillsides, melted at 1800°C in Germany's Berghausen plant, and refined to 99.999999% purity, 10 nines, purer than almost anything humans create. These silicon wafers traveled to Taiwan's TSMC fabrication plants, spending 3 to 4 months in sterile environments cleaner than operating rooms. Photolithography machines, costing hundreds of millions and built by only one company on Earth, zapped molten tin droplets with lasers 50,000 times per second, creating million-degree plasma to etch circuits smaller than viruses. The miniaturization defies imagination. The first transistor in 1947 was centimeter-sized. Today's chips pack 12 billion transistors in less than a square centimeter, each 1,000 times smaller than a red blood cell. 4 modern transistors could fit inside a single coronavirus particle. Despite designed in California, assembled in China labels, Apple manufactures almost nothing itself. It repackages components from different factories across continents, displays, batteries, cameras, modems, dozens of chips. The global supply chain for a single smartphone spans dozens of countries and hundreds of facilities. Break any single link, and the whole system grinds to a halt. Britain stockpiles 500,000 tons of Mediterranean salt as salt of last resort for winter emergencies. Beyond de-icing, vast underground chambers carved from ancient deposits safeguard priceless artifacts. Kansas's underground faults protects original Gone with the Wind negatives, while Britain's deep store houses millions of public records. After Russia's 2022 Ukraine invasion, Europe pumped emergency gas into cathedral-sized salt caverns as energy banks. Salt raised profound questions about power and liberty. China's 81 BC Discourse on Salt and Iron debated state monopolization. Modernists argued it financed armies, while Confucian reformists questioned why the state competes with the people. France's Gabelle tax forced citizens to buy 7 kilograms annually, with smuggling punishable by death. In colonial India, Britain banned local production and imposed heavy taxes. This sparked Gandhi's transformative 1930 Salt March, a 240-mile, 24-day walk, culminating in his gathering salt crystals from the sea. That simple act ignited nationwide civil disobedience and set India on the path to independence. Steel accounts for 95% of all metal production. The average person in developed economies relies on roughly 15 tons embedded in buildings, infrastructure, and vehicles, while sub-Saharan Africa has less than 1 ton per person. At Port Talbot Steelworks in Wales, molten iron flows like lava from blast furnaces exceeding 1,400 C. This process consumes over 1 billion tons of coal annually, generating 7 to 8% of global CO2 emissions. If steel forms civilization's skeleton, copper is its nervous system. When electricity first reached rural America in the 1940s, farmers sat gazing at their illuminated homes, calling it the next greatest thing after God's love. Copper's unique combination of electrical conductivity, ductility, and corrosion resistance makes it irreplaceable. Despite ore quality plummeting from 12 to 15% in 18th century Cornwall to below 1% today, copper's inflation-adjusted price has remained essentially flat, a productivity miracle as impressive as Moore's Law, but far less recognized. Crude oil has been the dominant energy force of the past century, providing not just fuel, but chemicals for fertilizers, feeding half the planet. This great accelerator revolutionized transportation, raised incomes, extended lifespans, and enabled population growth far beyond Earth's natural capacity. We've climbed a thermodynamic ladder. Coal has twice wood's energy density, while kerosene nearly doubles coal's. What makes the climate crisis particularly troubling isn't just environmental damage, it's oil's extraordinary utility as both energy source and manufacturing feedstock, unlike easily substituted substances like CFCs. The transition to clean energy requires extraordinary resources. Replacing a 100-megawatt gas turbine with wind power demands 20 enormous turbines, requiring 30,000 tons of iron, 50,000 tons of concrete, 900 tons of plastics, and 540 tons of copper. In Chile's Salar de Atacama, ancient brine is pumped into vast turquoise evaporation ponds, concentrating over a year into bright yellow-green lithium chloride solution. We'll need to mine more copper in the next 22 years than in all previous human history. Reaching net zero by 2050 is extraordinarily ambitious. No energy transition has happened this quickly, especially while shifting to less energy-dense sources as populous nations industrialize. Most unsettling, many alive today won't see the benefits, as the break-even year when climate benefits outweigh costs may not arrive until 2080. This unprecedented multi-generational sacrifice faces real risks. People giving up, political resistance blocking infrastructure, and disintegrating supply chains. The 2022 Ukraine invasion demonstrated how energy shortages devastate economies, forcing industrial giants like BASF to shut ammonia plants. Yet the material world's history offers hope. People once thought mass steel production impossible, rediscovering concrete a pipe dream, and controlling extreme ultraviolet light for chips unattainable. In 1801, producing a hectare of wheat required 150 hours of human labor. Today, it takes less than 2. A century ago, producing a ton of copper took 230 hours. Now, it's about 18. These leaps came from deploying energy, metals, and chemicals to industrialize farming and mining. We can build cleaner grids, provide leapfrog technologies to developing nations, create powerful batteries, and design complex chips. Humans have always left their mark on Earth, enabling longer, more comfortable lives for 8 billion people. We can live more sustainably, not by dismissing the material world, but by embracing it.